Thank you so much. Nagua Wu is a 10-year-old little boy in the Himalayan foothills that as he was wanting to just help take care of his family, he and a brother decided they were going to get honey from a beehive that they'd seen there. And so as they began to figure out how they were going to get that honey, he ended up using gasoline to start a fire to try to smoke out the bees. And that gasoline came shooting back at him and burned his leg dramatically to where he could not even extend his leg anymore. And it hurt in such a way that there was nothing that they knew how to do about it. Well, I mentioned that he lived in the Himalayan foothills. This is northern Myanmar, in a mountainous area that had no access to any kind of health care. But he and his mom heard that a short-term team had been in a village that they knew where it was. So he and his mom began to walk, him on one crutch that they'd found in the village that they had, and he began to walk. And they walked on the first day from sunrise to sunset. The second day, the third day, they walked for 7 days on village mountain trails. Then they got to a river that they got into a boat that they rode in that boat, a canoe boat that we've had people, teams ride in up to Patao, in northern Myanmar. It's got a motor on the back and a little canoe. They rode in that boat basically sunrise to sunset. They got in a pickup truck that they got in the back of and rode then for another full day to arrive the village where one of our short-term teams had been. And I mentioned it's a short-term team because most of our trips never last more than 7 to 10 days. And so our team was not there any longer. But the partner was there, heard about his need, knew his need, and made arrangements with us. And we were able to provide for him to be able to, he and his mom, they'll get on a plane. They flew to Yangon. He had a surgery. He had it repaired. And he became a young man with joy in his heart and smile on his face and completely transformed his life. And it's because of people like you that we were able to send the funds that allow him to fly to be able to have that surgery and to be able to have what a change that's making in his life. I tell that story because what kept him going, it was hope. It was hope that there was going to be a treatment, hope that there was going to be a change, hope that there was going to be an answer. And that's why I'm here today, is to talk to you about the hope that you provide and the hope that we partner with you to be able to provide around the world. So thank you for letting me come here today. I'm thrilled to be able to be here. I did come here 15 years or so before. We've been here for scouts and come and go in this building and played games in the fields and yards out around here. So it's fun to get to come today and be able to meet with all of you. And I get to do that. My wife and daughter, my wife Denise, my daughter Elizabeth are here with me. And our family is part of FAME because God led us to want to be part of, after pastoring for many years, God led us to want to be part of something that was impacting people globally and to be able to bring hope, which is the hope of the world, the people around us. You know, I came to come today to thank you for what you're doing. Because over the last 50 years, FAME has impacted a lot of people. And we started doing some just checking for you of what we could do as our family was getting engaged in this and involved. I wanted to know, what is the impact? And so we started to pay attention to how many people, our partners that we touch globally, and I can tell you a little bit of how we do that on your behalf, how many people they touch. And we've come very clearly realize that over 1 million people a year are treated in the name of Jesus and then hear the gospel for the first time because of you and the partnerships we have in 40-something countries around the world. So I'm here today to just tell you thank you on behalf of those 1 million people. And I'm here today to do that because if we had all of them come to tell you thank you and we gave them all 5 seconds each to say, 5 seconds each to say thank you and then tell the name of their country and just say thank you, that would take 1,380 hours or 65 days for them to say thank you. So instead of that, so you make it to lunch, I came to say thank you instead for the impact that you have. And so we appreciate the partnership that you've had for many years. Barb Payton has been a volunteer with FAME for many years. I know that she isn't, unless Barb snuck in, I thought she was health-wise, she wasn't going to be here today. But we thank you for your great partnership. Hope is what kept that little boy going. But you know, in Luke chapter 5, there's a story in Jesus' time. And that's my family that I mentioned, by the way. It's the slide that she skipped. That's great. But in Luke chapter 5, there's a story that happens all the time now. It's a story that is just like what happens with in these villages and these places where we go on your behalf. And I'd like you to look at with me. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 17 and on, there's a story that looks somewhat like this happens in Southeast Asia. This happened. But this is what happened with a young person was brought to Jesus in a very similar situation that we see happen repeatedly. But it's hope that kept this going. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, here's the story of Jesus' life. It says, on one of those days while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and also from Jerusalem. And here's the key verse, and the Lord's power to heal was in him. And just then some men came, carrying on a stretcher, a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. And since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles in the middle of the crowd before Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who blasphemes? Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, replied to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins," he turned and said to the young man, "Rise and walk. I tell you, get up and take your stretcher and go home." So immediately got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen incredible things today." What kept those four friends going? It was hope. It says that they tried. They were unable to because of the crowd. There were reasons that as these friends tried to take their friend to Jesus, that they were unable to have access to what Jesus had to provide. And we know that Jesus provided what he truly needed first. He said to this young man, "Your sins are forgiven." But then he also healed him. Jesus' ministry is just full of that, isn't it? There are hundreds of healings that Jesus did in his ministry, and each of them seemed to open the door for the gospel. Hope is what keeps us going, and hope is what you and I have to provide others. But one tool that we have to be able to provide that is access to health care, is a way to open the door for the gospel. Now, we live in this area. Fame works globally, but I do live here in just south, M135, just south of Stones Crossing. And as I leave and I go 18 miles to Fame's warehouse, is up on Southeastern and Emerson, is where our warehouse and offices are. So we're not traveling other places. My family, Denise and Elizabeth, we were in Montgomery, Alabama last week. There's flowers out there, by the way, in case you're wondering. It's beautiful. But we were just there last weekend on Sunday. But as I drive to Fame's office 18 miles, depending on what route I take, I pass 11 urgent care or emergency rooms. 11. And what did Nagwawu travel? 9 days, and there still wasn't any. That opportunity to provide that is what we're able to do on your behalf, to come alongside and bring help and hope to other people. With your help, Fame sends help and hope around the world. There's some projects that we're able to be part of. There's a list we have of projects and places we have. We want to jump to that, where we have just kind of a list of projects that we have. There's a country list and kind of what we're doing there. We do these three things of the sustainable projects on your behalf, where we help people. We give grants for them to build hospitals or clinics or to be able to have ambulances. We then ship medical equipment and supplies, and we organize short-term teams. I want to tell you how those things bring hope to people together. But this is a list of some of the projects that we just approved. Here's the concept of, you guys have been part of FAME for a long time. FAME has built or helped to fund 187 hospitals or clinics. This is the next 11. Okay, so in the 190-somethings that we're part of, you get to, in Ghana, in South India, in Mexico, these are all places where we are currently actively involved in giving grants to people to have a place of health and hope that they can bring hope to people and bring them life change. The need is great. The need is significant. Matter of fact, there's a little girl named Anyi that we learned about because a ministry in another part of the Himalayan foothills, actually northeast India, did not have access to health care. And we have a little video story about a guy named Philip. He's a pastor. And a story about what happened with the girl Anyi. That'd be the second video. I kind of jumped over that first one. Let's try this one.
New Year Day, 1st January 2019, and here is a teenage girl who is very, very sick. So we are transporting this girl to the hospital here in Miao Town by our small car.
So Anyi, the 16-year-old girl, did not able to make it because of the distance and the lack of ability to get where she is going. So Pastor Philip and his wife have now received a new 4x4 ambulance that can be used to take people to get them to hospitals and clinics when they come to them. That's what you have helped to provide. When people are the most helpless and the most hopeless, God always provides, and I believe God rescues. When we're in our most helpless and hopeless place, God is able to bring provision and rescue repeatedly. And so God provides in great and amazing ways. Matter of fact, we currently are involved in a project that's going to be able to help in a part of northern Ghana where there's no care of any kind for cardiac care. And there's a small clinic that we're going to be able to get to there to be able to give cardiac care. And I do have a video about that we just want to show you about a real positive experience of what we're going to provide and are providing for some people on your behalf. That's the way a lot of people transport people instead of ambulances. So,
I I would say averagely in a month, cardiac complications may be responsible for about 5 to 10% of our mortalities. As a doctor, it is so sad to break such a news. It's almost impossible for them.
How do you manage properly a patient with cardiac conditions?
I see patients that have heart disease almost every day who are not able to afford the appropriate medical care. Most of them are not even diagnosed.
I experienced cardiac heart disease, so I understand what it's like to have such a condition and not have the resources to support treatment. This condition should not be a death sentence.
There's no single center that manages cardiac complications in the northern sector of Ghana.
And that is why CLT is partnering with the Weichi Hospital to set up a cardiac heart disease facility to support the northern half of the country.
It is a critical need, and so this opportunity to partner with Changing Lives Together would be a welcome opportunity for our clients.
This facility will literally save thousands of lives.
If I try a friend with a miller from my ear, in Yamwa, didn't be to be our own boy, Mammy Bang, the more tolerant.
So what an opportunity we have, isn't it? That by providing basic healthcare needs that we have here, that it'll reach a whole half of a country and have an opportunity for them to open the door for the gospel. For our friend there with the Changing Lives Together with George and the other partners that are there, that each one will meet chaplains and talk to them and then be led and connected to the local church that's part of that. And so that's your story about Ghana. That's your story about the Himalayan foothills. Those are things that you currently are doing to bring help and hope to people around the world. And so I just thank you for that and want you to know that that's what God does. When you feel helpless and hopeless, you're already doing things around the world through your partnership as a church. And I believe that when you feel most helpless and hopeless, not only are you doing this around the world, but God provides and God cares in your own life too. I believe that God comes alongside of us in amazing ways. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think. But look at the key word in that, according to His power in us. See, God is able to provide and God is able to rescue. And it's that power is in you and I. In the next scripture, it says in Romans 8:10, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and I. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So if God is going to bring hope around the world, we can do it. And it's you and I that are part of it. And so you are already part of it globally by partnering as a church together. But you and I can do that on our own. I believe that there's amazing thing God does to bring provision and rescue all the time to us. And we don't always see it. I believe it's in big ways and little ways. I was in Australia stranded on the side of the road with a friend of mine from Iowa, and he and I were both in Australia, and we had actually done hitchhike to get where we were trying to go, and we got and dropped off a place we didn't expect it to. We misunderstood his nice Aussie accent, and we thought he was saying he was going to one place, and he was going like halfway. And so there's a place in Australia called the Nullarbor, and it's a Aboriginal means for there's nothing there. And so that's where we were, and we had not seen a vehicle for hours, and we're hitchhiking, and none had come. But then we heard, and so we were just there, and we were hungry, and we were kind of worn out. We'd eaten some sugar cane, and all that did was just make us hyper. And so we were just, we were just hoping for something. And my friend Troy said, I wish there was one of those fruit stands on this corner. And I said, well, let's pray for God to provide a fruit stand. And I just said, God, we just pray you just provide us a fruit stand today. And Troy said, you're the dumbest guy I've ever traveled with. And so about that time, coming the opposite wrong direction, we saw the dust of a truck coming. Now, there's hope when a truck begins to come, even if it's coming the wrong way. But in Australia, it's so flat that you see headlights at night come over the horizon. That is how flat Australia is. And so we'd see, so he was coming for a long time. We saw this truck coming and come the wrong way. He was going the wrong way. We're trying to decide, do we just get a ride with them and go the wrong way and try again? You know, what do we do? But as this truck kept getting closer and closer, it's rumbling along the wrong way. All of a sudden, this guy stood in the back of the pickup bed. We saw his head look down in the big truck bed. He disappeared. He stood back up, and right as they passed, he threw out a 50-pound bag of oranges, and it bounced and landed at our feet. And I said, see? God provides and God rescues, even when we might feel silly praying, God still uses it. Our family had some friends come visit one time, and they came to our house, and they were from out of town, and they came to visit us, and we were just staying for some time. And it's kind of an embarrassing moment as a family, and kind of dumb to tell even, but it's with God's provision. They were there talking to us and visiting, and one of their kids came and ran into our room and said, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom. And we were out, you know, house-wide, right? Okay? And at that moment, at the front door, the doorbell rang. And a friend of ours, I went to the door and answered. A friend of ours had been to Sam's Club and gotten an extra pack of like 8,000 rolls, one of those big things you can't carry, whatever they are in it, and came to the door with it, handed it to us. And I just said, well, thank you. We'll be needing that, and left. And the family was there. It was just like, what was that? It's like God provides. God rescues. I think God provides when a coupon shows up that you need for where you're going to go. I think God provides when you think you're looking for a parking place in the front part of the parking lot, but you end up getting one out back because you really need to walk further anyhow. You know, I think God provides in big and small ways. I think God provides, and I think God rescues. And He provides and rescues through you guys globally in many ways, but He does it in your own personal life. We've seen God's rescue and God's provision. You know, when we decided to be part of a global ministry, we actually lived in, we pastored here in Indianapolis for many years, but we've actually been in Wisconsin. And we lived there, and we got the call to move here, and we put our house up for sale. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of the last day we left our house. We had bought this house many years before that. And so we bought this house, and you see that this is a day we pulled out of the driveway. And when we bought this house, we heard from after we bought it, we heard from people in the church and others that that house is like this. That's like the flood zone. I don't know what you guys are doing buying that. Well, we knew the creek was in the flood zone, a beautiful trout, class A trout stream right behind our house. But, you know, the paperwork said our house wasn't in the flood zone. But, and so Denise prayed. This is when we got a house. She just prayed, Lord, we pray that while we live here, there'll never be a devastating flood. So we lived there quite a few years. And we lived there and had a beautiful time there, beautiful valley that we lived in, the hills and mountains behind us, and we just loved it. And we moved and out of that house, and we got a phone call 8 days later from a friend. They'd driven by our house after a major rain in that part of Wisconsin, and this is what our front yard looked like that next day. 8 days after we closed on that house, 8 days after I took that picture, that's our friends in our front yard, where the whole valley, even covering the highway, had been full of water. And it wiped away outbuildings. We lost, the cabins were gone. Everything was just destroyed. What was that? I think that's God's provision and God's rescue. No one was hurt. It happened at 2 in the morning. The new people had bought a house, hadn't moved in. So that was good. But I believe that God rescues today. And sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we do. And so I'm here today to just encourage you that when you feel the most helpless, when you feel the most hopeless, God provides and God rescues. He does that through those grants that I told you that we give. But he does it through you and I. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 said that he does exceedingly abundantly in his power in us. In Romans 8, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's at work in you and I. The same power that provides Christ in you brings the hope of glory. And so he is able to provide and make these things in your life. So not only does FAME do that globally, like helping provide places of help and hope, we also do locally. We help provide hope by we send medical equipment and supplies. We do collect vitamins as a significant need, as Alan was saying earlier, and all kinds of equipment that you guys can gather. There's some information out there of things that you can collect and things that we can send nation globally around the world that we can send. We also have large equipment collected, everything from MRI machines to surgery centers, and everything gets donated when people upgrade here, and doctors and hospitals and clinics will upgrade here. They donate those to us, and those are able to then be shipped out. You guys can serve in our warehouse. Denise met first, and I met Maggie. I've lost you. Where is she? There you are. And she, when she used to work with a business that was a partner with ours, she's actually served at a warehouse and helped be in there before counting things and looking at things and doing it. And that's what people do. We send, so far this year, 160 shipments to 47 countries. Right now, there are 3 full-size containers of supplies. We're staged and ready to ship to Nepal, to Togo, and to Guatemala. I'm not in charge of it, so that's what I think I remember right. Are all prepared to go to those places right now. And so you can serve alongside of us. Now, this is a picture with a friend of ours from China that came, and we helped them to be able to send a shipment of medical supplies, gloves and masks and what's the liquid stuff you put in your hand? Hand sanitizer, which I have out there. The little FAME thing that looks like a little pen is actually a hand sanitizer spray. You can grab one of those if you want to. We charge $215 each for them if you want them. No. They're free out there. The only one hand sanitizer that's free in the city right now is at that table. But all those things we come alongside. And so the impacting in China, and I don't even know all the partner details. I just heard pieces of it because we were traveling. But planes are going to China empty and coming back full for a while. And so all the medical equipment and supplies was actually shipped for free by one of the commercial airlines. Put it all in their bag because they had no luggage, because they had no customers, but they just had to get a plane to China. So they shipped all the equipment there for free, and we just had to help pay to acquire them. And now we're just, the funds are going toward actually just helping people in China purchase them. And here's what's happening in that, is that Christians in China were being neglected in the distribution of medical supplies. And so we have helped to outfit churches in China to be able to distribute medical supplies. Isn't that a great turn from those being neglected to then serving others and giving to their own clinics and their own hospitals around them? And so those are things that we do on your behalf as a shipping medical equipment and supplies. But we also then do send short-term teams. We want our teams to only have a third of the team be medical professionals. We want two-thirds of the team to have other skills and gifts, to listen to people's stories, to listen to what their needs are, to be able to care about them, to be able to really pay attention to their needs, to tell the Bible stories, teach health lessons. There's so many things that we can do. And so we do these things on your behalf, and we'd love to have you. There's a list of short-term trips that can be planned so people can serve locally at FAME, but also go globally on our trips. But we do all this on your behalf because of who Jesus is. We do all these things because of who he is. Because John the Baptist was in jail, in prison, and it says that he came to a place that he sent some of his disciples. He's in jail, and John the Baptist sent a messenger to Jesus and said, to go ask Jesus, said, are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else? Even though John had baptized Jesus, that knew who he was, said he's the Lamb of God, he had a moment of doubt. And we all have times where you go like, God, are you really engaged in this? Is this really you? You really care about me? John the Baptist had that moment. And he said, are you the one that's to come, or should we expect someone else? And it says that when those disciples came to ask that question of Jesus, in Luke chapter 7, it says, at that time, verse 21, it says, Jesus healed many people of diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many blind people. And he replied to John's disciples, go and report to John what you've seen and heard. The lame walk, the blind receive their sight, those of leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. That's why we do what we do with your support and on your behalf, because it's what Jesus did. And when he did those things, he said, tell John the Baptist, I'm healing people and telling the good news. That tells you who I am. That's his identity. And so when we identify with him, that's who we come alongside. When we feel helpless and hopeless, that's Jesus can come alongside, and that's what he does. That's who he is. And many times I'm sure you feel like you can't be the help and hope that people need. I don't have what it takes. And the disciples felt that way. As a matter of fact, when the 5,000 was gathered and they all said to Jesus to, hey, send the people away. There's just too many of them, and they're hungry, and send them away. In Luke chapter 9, it says in verse 13, he said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. He said to the disciples, they come to Jesus, they say, Jesus, we have a problem. Can you take care of this problem, Jesus? And Jesus turns back to him and says, you give them something to eat. And I think that's where we get sometimes with the world needs and the world issues, is that we say, God, the world has all these things going on, even just right in my own backyard, in my own neighborhood, in my own family. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, will you take care of this? And I think God sometimes turns to us and says, will you give them something to eat? And we say, psh, there's 5,000 people. What is it that that one of them answered Jesus? And here's what he says in verse 13. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think what happens to us is we often, when we see a need in the world and we sense that God wants us to do something about it, we keep telling God what we only have. We keep telling God, here's my circumstances. God, I can't do that. I only blank. I can't do it. You don't know my story. You can't expect that of me. He said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. So they took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, something that they did have, and took it to Jesus, and he multiplied it. Folks, that's all he wants us to do with us, is you do have what is needed to be able to change the world, to bring hope and help to people, to be able to bring a difference in them. Ephesians 3:20 says, he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever we would ask or imagine through the power that's in us. He says in Romans 8:10, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that he can use in us. And in Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, there's the hope of glory. Sometimes I think we think we're disqualified from being used by God, and you're not. We think our mistakes, we think our bad choices, the bad breaks, the terrible situations have caused us to not be able to be used by God. I have something here, just kind of maybe think about that a little bit. I have a brand new, crisp dollar bill, and no strings attached. I'd just like to give it to somebody today. Who'd take like a brand new dollar bill? I used to do this with a larger dollar bill, but I travel and speak too much, I can't afford it. So I just do a dollar. We'll take a brand new dollar. All right, I think you said, yeah, okay. There you go. All right, brand new crisp dollar bill, okay? And so, you know, that's an inviting thing. That's yours, you can have it. I also have something else in my hand. It's actually a dollar bill, too. It's a little crumpled, a little wrinkled, a little worn. Would anybody like this dollar bill? Yeah, she says, sure. Because guess what? It might be wrinkled, it might be crumpled, it might be a little worn, might have gone through some hard times, had some things distressful happen, but its value never changed. And I just want to tell you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I don't care if you're a brand new crisp Christian. I don't know if you're a brand new crisp person, but you probably have some wrinkles and are worn and had a few things happen to us and some bad breaks and some things occur. that, guess what? Those don't disqualify you from bringing help and hope to other people. Your value hasn't changed just because you've been through a few things. And that's what you can bring help and hope to people in your own circle of friends, your own life. You know, we often decide what shapes us. One of the things that happens when you travel the world, you connect with people who travel the world, you see unique things. Have you seen these out of China? We hear a lot of bad stories about China right now, but have you heard about square watermelons? I have a picture of them. You see those up there? These are literally our square watermelons. They are sold in China, and I'll tell you how they're made. At a certain point in the development of it, they take a clear plastic box right there, and they put it around the watermelon when it's small enough to fit in it. And in 12 days is the season where they put it just the right timing in this one little village. In 12 days, it grows. It's that growing point where it grows and it fits the shape of the box that it's in. And then it sets the shape and they take the box off of it. And in 12 days, its shape is determined. You and I often decide what shapes us. You and I often decide. And they actually did that to grow it to fit it in the refrigerators because space is of limit, and it sits in your refrigerator better as a square than it does round, and it doesn't roll. It really is. And now it's this unique, expensive, funny thing. But you and I decide, and you know, there are times that things happen in our life that you and I decide what's going to happen with it. But we have control over the opportunity to decide what's inside of us and what can shape us. Scripture says in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in you is the hope of glory. We can make changes in other people's lives because it doesn't matter what mistakes or bad choices or bad breaks or terrible situations that you've been in. I'm here to tell you that you're a child of God. You're anointed and you're gifted. You're chosen by God in so many ways. You know, one way you can decide what shapes you is this faith promise. One of the pioneering executive directors of FAME, I heard him speak in the late 1960s at my little church in Michigan at a Faith Promise rally. And he spoke and challenged us. Maybe today you can just trust God for what he's going to provide that you don't even know. And just put a promise out there in faith that, God, you're going to do something I won't expect because of the power that's inside of me. Because sometimes we need help discovering the power inside of us. I had a friend that we were canoeing, and we just got to one of those places where you go canoeing that the water was deep, and so everyone was swimming. And my friend Scott for some reason, he could never get into a canoe when it was in water. He had to go to the side every time. He just couldn't. Because, you know, getting in a canoe out of a deeper section of water, there's a little skill to it. You got to kind of get a hold of the side a little bit and reach across the other side and flip your leg up in. Only thing he ever did was just flip the canoe. It was the only thing he ever did. Scott just could not do it. And Scott would just, every time it would be in deep water, we traveled a 50-mile trip together. And he just swamped his canoe repeatedly whenever he tried to do that. And so one time we all jumped out, everybody swimming, and he was near his canoe. His buddy was in his canoe, you never want to let Scott be your buddy and have him try to get in the canoe because your stuff's all going to get wet. And so Scott was swimming, and we were a little bit south of here a ways, and it's in Arkansas where there are snakes are rampant, and there was a water moccasin swimming toward him across the water of the river right towards Scott. Do you know that Scott did like a swan dive from the water straight up out and landed in the canoe? That snake gave him power inside he did not know he had. And I think sometimes, folks, there's things that happen to us that we don't always realize the power inside that we have. Let those moments be the things that help you to see how God can use you. And so you today, two layers, I believe God can use you to bring help and hope to other people. But you also already are, through your partnership with us, impacting people around the world. You bring help and hope, and God provides and God rescues. And I just thank you for your impact that you're having in lives of people around the world because of that. That they hear the word of God, they hear the good news of Jesus, and are treated in the name of Jesus because of you. So if you have any more questions or things about that, I'd love to share more with you about that and anything we can do as we continue to partner together. So thank you. Can I pray? Father, I just thank you for this moment to remind us that you are in us, that we can do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever we would ask or imagine because of the hope that's in us. Lord, there may be some people in this room today that feel like they're a little worn, they're a little crumpled. Maybe they haven't been able to be used the way they want and they thought. But God, their value has never changed. Lord, I just pray you just empower them to be used by you as we all trust you to be our provider and our rescuer. In Jesus' name, amen.